Welcome back to the deep dive. So, you survived the catering consultation, you nailed the seating charts, and somehow you managed the pressure of that first dance. Now you've earned the ultimate reward, the honeymoon.
It's that moment the whole wedding industrial complex finally releases its grip, and you get to actually enjoy the person you just married.
Exactly.
And today we're doing a deep dive into some fantastic guides for this, which come directly from Pitcott's content, specifically their bestseller ebooks.
Our mission here is to pull out the most essential nuggets of wisdom from this guide. The whole goal is to move past that wedding whirlwind and focus on the first real and, let's be honest, fun chapter of life together.
That's it. We're trying to make sure your honeymoon lives up to what Pitcott promises.
Yeah.
That it's a necessary transition where, and I love this phrase, the haze of planning phase and love gets to breathe.
Love gets to breathe. That's
Yeah.
perfect.
Yeah.
So we're turning bullet points into, real strategic insight. You're not just booking a trip, you're curating an experience.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
And the foundation of all this, of this guide, is that a great honeymoon doesn't just happen by accident. It's all about intentional alignment.
And we should say, this deep dive is really just a sample. If you're looking for that complete stress-free blueprint, you have to check out the source.
Absolutely.
If you are serious about planning this first great adventure, just go visit www.pitcott.com/memebooks right now and download these bestseller ebooks. They are so high quality.
Okay, let's unpack that first big decision. Identifying your core honeymoon vibe. Are
Right.
you craving effortless ease, deep peace, or adrenaline-fueled connection?
And Pitcott frames this around three main pillars, which is so smart because it forces you to align your expectations before you even start looking at destinations.
Ah, okay. So if one person wants to just chill and the other wants adventure,
Yeah.
you've got a problem from the get-go.
You've got a problem. It's about deciding on the level of mental labor you want to put in. So pillar one, which Pitcott calls effortless romance, is all about the all-inclusive resort.
The appeal isn't just price, it's, decision fatigue. The wedding has been a year of nonstop decisions.
That makes perfect sense. The appeal is just handing over the reins completely.
Precisely. You are paying for complete mental relaxation. The guides emphasize that everything, gourmet meals, spa days, sunset cruises, even some tours, it's all wrapped into one package.
So no friction, no daily budgeting, no figuring out where to eat.
None. You just show up and relax. Destinations like the Maldives or some of those high-end resorts in Mexico are like the prime examples of maximizing that relaxing cloud nine experience.
But what if a couple finds that level of structure, I don't know, a bit stifling? That's where pillar two comes
That's
in.
right. You jump straight to pillar two. Secluded nature retreats for pure peace. This is an intentional choice to completely disconnect from the grid.
Not just from wedding stress, but from everything.
Everything. The whole point here is to maximize intimacy and calm by just minimizing all that external noise.
Yeah.
You're trading decision fatigue for sensory immersion.
So what does that look like?
Well, the Pitcott guys mention things like waking up to birdsong in a Bali treehouse, or getting cozy in a cabin deep in the Rockies, maybe an eco lodge in Costa Rica. It's about creating uninterrupted time together, often without Wi-Fi.
Wow. Okay, that choice requires a different kind of preparation. You have to be ready to rely on each other for entertainment.
You do.
And then, for the couples who find total relaxation almost painful, we have pillar three, adventures for two.
Yeah, this is for the duo who believes that, a shared challenge strengthens the bond faster than just sitting on a beach.
And what's interesting here is that the source highlights adventures that are still deeply intimate. It's not about individual adrenaline sports.
No, not at all. It's all about mutual discovery.
So give us some of those incredible examples Pitcott shared.
Okay, so take an African safari. You spend the day focused, together, tracking elephants and lions with your guide. Then at night, you're back at a luxury tented camp, sharing stories, stargazing under this vast, silent sky. That shared awe, it creates such a deep memory.
Or that image of cruising the icy waters of the Scandinavian fjords to chase the northern lights. I mean, the sheer scale of that puts everything else into perspective.
For sure. And for those who prefer, a bit more warmth, there's rainforest hiking, trekking to secret waterfalls, swimming under wild cascades. The key is that every activity is a joint effort with a joint reward.
So choosing a vibe is step one. Effortless romance, pure peace, or shared adventure.
The necessary first step.
Okay, so once you have the vibe, you have to talk about timing. Pitcott says this sets the mood completely, and ignoring it is one of the biggest mistakes people make.
It is. You have to match the destination's best season with the mood you're trying to create. If you're going for winter romance, you're looking for cold, intimate places. Alpine ski resorts, cocoa, crackling fires.
It's all about that cozy, contained togetherness.
Exactly. Whereas if you're set on summer bliss, you're aiming for places that peak in the summer. Bora Bora, Santorini, Bali.
And Pitcott warns about the risk of hitting the rainy season, which can just turn your bliss into a total washout.
Right. Good planning means actually researching the average rainfall and, you know, the visitor numbers.
And this brings us to the insider tips, the things that take a trip from just good to, wow, genuinely unforgettable.
Yes. These are the specific peak moments Pitcott identifies.
It's the difference between seeing a landmark and really experiencing it. Let's start with Bali.
So in Bali, it's not just about the resort. The wow factor is the active challenge. The guide suggests an early sunrise hike up Mount Batur. It's hard, but the reward is seeing the island wake up from above. And then
you follow it with a private, urn dinner deep in the rice paddies.
That combination of effort and reward is just deeply romantic.
Okay, what about Santorini? That's already, you know, the capital of romance.
The tip there is to avoid the super crowded sunset spots. Instead, you book a romantic catamaran cruise. You get the same incredible sunset, but from the water, maybe with some cliffside wine tasting. It's way more exclusive.
I love that. And for the Amalfi Coast, no one wants to be stuck on a tour bus on those roads.
Definitely not. The insider tip is to rent a Vespa. Zipping around the villages, feeling the wind, grabbing gelato in Positano. It just instantly captures that carefree Italian spirit.
Pitcott also identifies this great balance in Queenstown, New Zealand. It's for the adventure couple that still needs some peace.
Right. You spend the morning doing the jet boat or the bungee jump. That's your adrenaline fix. Then you intentionally follow it up with an indulgent lakeside spa treatment. It's structured recovery.
And finally, the Maldives, the height of luxury relaxation.
For the Maldives, the guide suggests really using the environment. Stay in an overwater villa, go snorkeling with manta rays, and make sure you book at least one fully private beach dinner. It's those details that make it a truly curated experience.
Okay, so inspiration is great, but a sample game plan really helps reduce stress. Let's break down the three distinct 7 to 8 night itineraries Pitcott provides.
Let's do it. First up is itinerary one, beach and chill in Maui, Hawaii. This is for couples who want max relaxation but still want to see the beauty of the place.
And the strategy here is balancing intense sightseeing days with plenty of rest days.
Exactly. So after you arrive and have a day just chilling by the pool, day two tackles the famous Road to Hana. Pitcott says to make it a full day commitment, including a black sand picnic.
So you do the most active day early and then you scale it back.
Right. The pace slows. Day three is Molokini snorkeling, followed by an afternoon at the spa. And then comes the big one, the super early morning for the sunrise at Haleakala on day four.
Which is a non-negotiable Maui experience, right?
It is, but Pitcott advises building in a full recovery afternoon because that early start really takes its toll.
It sounds like a perfect arc. The second half of the trip has more freedom, a dolphin watching cruise, a free day for whatever, and then it ends with a luau dinner under the stars. So balanced.
Next up, a totally different vibe. Itinerary two, adventure and culture in Kyoto and Tokyo, Japan. This one is a structured progression from deep tradition to hypermodernity.
And the genius here is the timing. The first 3 days are all Kyoto the temples, the Arashiyama bamboo forest, a tea ceremony. It's the slow, immersive part.
And the transition is key. Day four is a food market day tour in Osaka. It's sensory, it's fast-paced, and it's the perfect bridge to the speed of the city.
Then days 5 to 7 are all about the breakneck energy of Tokyo.
Yep. You've got the sensory overload of Shibuya Crossing, a day trip to see Mount Fuji, and this is crucial, a dedicated ramen crawl.
And to prevent total burnout.
The itinerary gives you the perfect decompression, a zen ending on day 8 with a ryokan stay and an onsen bath, a thoughtful way to close such an active trip.
Finally, the most ambitious one, itinerary 3, Wild and Lux, a Serengeti safari in Tanzania.
The Lux part here is so important because it handles all the complicated logistics of being deep in the bush. Days 2 through 4 are all about the morning and evening safaris tracking the big 5.
And the peak moment here is, it's just breathtaking.
It really is. The hot air balloon ride with a champagne breakfast on day 5. That bird's eye view of the migration with that level of luxury, that's a once in a lifetime honeymoon event.
Wow. And the other days mix in cultural visits, like to a Maasai village, and also necessary relaxation like a spa day, so you don't come home totally depleted.
Exactly. So whether it's Maui, Japan, or the Serengeti, a good itinerary provides the guardrails you need. But now we have to shift to, honestly, the most important part of all of this.
The practical prep. The essential honeymoon checklist.
This is what saves you from that panic attack at the airport.
Okay, so let's talk about the non-negotiables Pitcott insists on.
Right, we're moving from dreaming to doing. So first, systematically, you have to check your passport and visa expiration dates. And not just that they're valid, but that they're valid for at least 6 months beyond your return date. So many countries require that.
That's a detail people always forget.
They do. And then confirm all your flights, hotels, and transfer bookings. Don't wait until you land to figure out that airport transfer.
The source also stresses the critical financial and health points. The number one rule is having a buffer budget. They say 10 to 15% extra.
Yes, because remote ATM fees, unexpected tipping, hidden tourism taxes, they always chip away at your funds. This buffer lets you say yes to something spontaneous without the stress.
And the big one, travel insurance.
Absolutely critical. You have to sort that out, along with any health prep, specific meds, and a basic first aid kit, especially if you're going somewhere remote like the Serengeti. Peace of mind is the ultimate luxury.
And you know, all these comprehensive guides, from packing lists to budgeting best practices for every single destination, they are available to you right now. Before our final thought, just a quick reminder, visit www.pitcott.com for more of these incredible resources.
And finally, we get to the emotional touches, the things that really enhance the experience but are so easy to forget in the rush.
I love that Pitcott includes these, things like making a shared honeymoon playlist for travel days, or making sure family has your full itinerary in case of an emergency, and setting up all your home arrangements, mail, pets, bills.
You have to eliminate those little worries that can pop into your head and just steal the moment.
Yeah.
This whole process, the planning, the checklist, it all leads to one conclusion.
Yeah, Pitcott puts it perfectly. The honeymoon should be about the two of you laughing, dreaming, making stories. Plan the big stuff that matters, the rest. Trust your plan and just go with the flow.
So considering the diverse itineraries we talked about, from the chill luxury of Maui to the adventure of the Serengeti, here's a final thought for you to chew on.
Okay.
If you're leaning heavily toward a classic chill beach week, how could you intentionally incorporate just one day of that adventure pillar? Maybe a challenging hike or a deep sea dive. How could that create an even more balanced and memorable chapter? Don't feel trapped by one category.
Mix and match to build your perfect story. That is a perfect challenge to leave you with. And we have to explicitly credit the fantastic source material for all of today's insights. Pitcott.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
If you enjoyed this show, please subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and go ahead and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads.
And if you love our show, please press the like button. It really does help the recommendation algorithm so other people can find this valuable knowledge too.
One last time, make sure your honeymoon planning is absolutely perfect by visiting www.pitcott.com. Thank you for listening to the Pitcott podcast. I will leave a link in the description below. Thank you for being there with us.